here as the Edgware Road of Amman. It's the street where Iraqis really transferred all their businesses or their shops, famous names, famous restaurants of Iraq came. Here is one of the really very big restaurants. Its name is Qasim. Qasim was really one of the biggest in Iraq. And I myself used to go to Qasim every other day. And if you can see the, and here is the other shop. It's menswear. I know the owner, he's Iraqi. And you can see a pharmacy owned by Iraqi, and internet cafes run by Iraqis, and optician. Who's a really good friend of mine. And this is also a cafe owned by an Iraqi guy who really we used to chill out and hang out over here. We watch like football matches and soccer football matches.
Rana Sways, UNHCR, Jordan.
We have about 450,000 to 500,000 Iraqis in Jordan, according to a FAFO study. FAFO is an independent Norwegian organization that conducted a survey in Jordan. So there's about 450,000 to 500,000 Iraqis living in Jordan. This includes pre-2003 and after 2003. They are a diverse population here in Jordan in terms of where they come from, their background, as well as their financial situation. We have Sunnis, Shias, Kurds, Christians, so they are very diverse, even compared to the 1.4 million in Syria. You will find that in Syria they are mostly poor and mostly Shias.
It was May 2005 when my father received some threats in the hospital he worked in. The threat was about, they were threatening him just to leave Iraq with no reason or he will get killed. So he received two threats and then he thought it might be serious, so we didn't take the risk to stay more. So I was just about to finish my fourth year in medical student. As a medical student, we studied for 6 years in Baghdad, not as in UK. My dad left before us in May 2005, and I just had to finish my final exams and left Iraq. Took what I could take from my things in Baghdad and came here to Jordan. My father was here in Jordan. He was trying to make the transfer for me from Baghdad University to Jordan University. So it took me a month till I managed to get the transfer to Jordan and started the fourth year again here, because they made me lose a year, because I have to study for at least 50% of the college hours to get the certificate here. So I started my fourth year again. And then my dad went to United Arab Emirates and started looking for jobs. And he managed to get a job after a couple of months. And he's living right now there.
I left Iraq because I wanted to join my parents in Australia. My mother and brothers are there, and that's why I wanted to go. So I was alone in Iraq. I have five brothers, including me, and six sisters, who are all married, and they are all living outside Iraq now. At the time Saddam Hussein was there, the situation was really difficult. There were problems between outside of Iraq and Iraq with Saddam Hussein. It wasn't like before during the Iran war. There was aviation at that time. I was really young, but I remember the situation was much better than before the Kuwait war. When we went into Kuwait, everything was sanctioned. There was only the option of going to Jordan or Syria. That's all. Saddam had us really suffocated.
college?
I've been in Jordan for 6 or almost 7 years. The living experience has not been so good here. It's not like living in stability. We come here in transit. There's no stability. The deporters are following us. They're always behind us. I'm working for you here right now, and I'm scared that they might catch me and send me back to Iraq.
Dana Graber Ladik, International Organization for Migration, Jordan.
In 2006, with the bombing of the Samarra Shrine, we saw an increase of people fleeing Iraq to the neighboring countries, but also of people fleeing within the country. This increase of people fleeing the country is what caused Jordan to increase the restrictions of entry in 2006. This is unlike Syria, which, until the end of 2007, has remained open to Iraqis fleeing to the country from Iraq. At the end of 2007, Jordan stated it would impose visa requirements. And just last month, in January, it was announced an Iraqi company will handle visa applications in Iraq. This will further restrict the entry of Iraqis into Jordan.
Everything started with my brother-in-law. He was really a good man, good values and everything. He had a mechanic shop, and he was Christian. They were living in Baghdad, and his place was located in a bad neighborhood amongst a lot of extremists. He wanted to live. He wanted to earn a living. I remember in February of 2004, 2 days before Valentine's Day, he called us, and everything was okay. But on the 16th of February, he was dead. He went at 9:30 a.m. to his shop in the morning and opened the shop. At 10 o'clock, three masked men came in and called him by his name from the door and then shot him with about 30 bullets all over. And of course, he died really quickly. His brothers came but couldn't catch the terrorists, so he died. Before my brother-in-law was killed, my sister had a beauty parlor owned by her and her friend. They were business partners. They would always threaten them that this beauty parlor was wrong. You know, they had a really messed up mentality, a backward mentality. So first they sent her a warning. Her husband is in Germany and she wanted to raise her daughter. The second warning came, and the third, she didn't heed it. After the third warning, they acted quickly. Her daughter was at school, and she was out the back of the beauty parlor with her friend out the front. And they threw a grenade, so they were both in critical condition. Her friend lost her arm, and my sister stayed for 3 days in the hospital. The parlor was destroyed. My brother-in-law was helping her. He had her in his house. They used to tell him, "Don't help her," to try and scare him. "We will destroy your place too," they said. "You don't have a place in Iraq. Your place is outside Iraq because you're Christian. But you know, we are the original Iraqis. We are from Iraq." So when my sister got better, she came and stayed with me. They also said they would kidnap her 14-year-old daughter if you don't leave Iraq. So she came to me, and that's when they killed my brother-in-law. So my sister and her friend went to Syria.
Iraqis started to leave Iraq from maybe 1996, many Iraqis left. But after the war in 2003, also many Iraqis left and made a transfer to Jordan and started to study here, many of my friends. And within every year after the war, the Iraqis who are living in Iraq are increasing in number. All of the friends I have are having the same situation as mine and living in well conditions, I guess, but I sometimes meet many Iraqis who need help because I'm a student and we work in the university hospital of the University of Jordan, so I see many Iraqi patients who come there and need help, and me and my friends like sometimes try to help them even by maybe collecting some money and offering them the help they need.
We faced a lot of threatening, and my father was killed, kidnapped, tortured and killed. We paid a ransom for him, but it's not worth it, you know. We faced many assassination attempts. So we faced, you know, threatening from militia, from the government, from police, from internal affairs, death squad, toward our house, toward our persons, toward our family. So we had to leave responding to that. So you have two choices. It's either you fight them and you will be a terrorist by that and everybody in the world will follow you, or you just run away. Actually, our runaway from country came too late. It's after my father kidnapped and death. It should be earlier, but my father refused to, you know, responding to that, these threats. We sent him to Egypt, we sent him to Turkey, but he came back. My father was actually was a pilot in the first place. So it's not easy to make a military guy to run away, you know. He's, as he says, I faced the battle through all my life, you know, I'm not kind of runaway guy. So he came to Baghdad and faced his destiny. Well, after my father's death, me and my brother tried to, you know, run the work of the company, but we didn't have the experience that my father had. We are doctors, not a contractor. After that, the action toward our family increased and very serious and dangerous thing. We received a threatening note, and he faced assassination attempts. A BMW just crossed his car and shoot at his car. He was driving it, but he's fortunately he ran away from it for the second time. You know, they shoot in our house. They threaten us in our house. They send threats to my two brothers. I have more brothers than seven. So, you know, it's very difficult when you feel that everyone threatening you, especially the government. We work outside Baghdad, so we also faced a problem on the area we work at from the insurgents. So we had to leave because, you know, the Shia are looking after you, the insurgents of the Sunni are looking after you. It's not an easy thing. We should take it seriously. So we decided to leave the next day. When we first came, we figured out that things is easy in Amman. We didn't have, you know, the picture that we saw now. We proposed for many positions as a doctor. We worked many times in private hospitals. It's either we faced a residence problem, like in private hospital, or there's security issues when we proposed to the board. The last time I worked in a hospital, private hospital, they didn't give me my salary, my monthly salary. And I worked with them for free for 2 months. And when I asked them to pay me, they says, "You are fired, you know, if you want, go and sue us." Well, I don't have a legal situation here, so they know I can't go to sue them. So I forget about it.
In Jordan right now, we have over 51,000 Iraqis registered with UNHCR in Jordan. That number is low compared to the overall population. There is about 100 to 150,000 of the 500,000 who have residency permits, who are investing in Jordan, who are doing okay, and they perhaps do not see a reason to register with UNHCR or do not want to register with UNHCR. Another population that are here illegally, and though the government of Jordan and the people of Jordan are very tolerant, and the number of detentions and deportations are very, very, very low, there is fear in the community.
Regarding the composition of Iraqis in Jordan, the majority are from Baghdad. About 20% say they wish to resettle in a third country, and about 40% say they hope to return to Iraq. However, the majority of these state that they will not return until the security situation improves. Iraqis in Jordan tend to be wealthier than those who are living in Syria. However, as their displacement prolongs, their conditions are also deteriorating, as are those of the Iraqis in Syria. According to a recent study by the Norwegian Institute Fafo, 56% of Iraqis have a valid permit to stay in Jordan. That means at least almost half of Iraqis are not in Jordan legally. If Iraqis do not have a valid permit and wish to leave the country, it is very unlikely that they would be able to re-enter into Jordan, making them, in effect, prisoners within Jordan. They cannot legally apply for jobs, and many of them are fearful to send their children to school in Jordan, even though the Jordanian government has allowed Iraqi children to attend public school systems. But those Iraqis that are here legally are fearful that if they send their children to school, then they will be identified. It also makes it very difficult for Iraqis to move within the country for fear that they will be possibly imprisoned or sent back to Iraq. I've talked to many Iraqis here who are here illegally and who would like to go home, back to Iraq, but cannot due to the security situation. Many of them would also like to be resettled to another country, such as Australia or the United States, but very few people are actually being accepted for resettlement in other countries. This is leading to an increasingly desperate situation for the Iraqis in Jordan. And as the security situation in Iraq remains unstable, Iraqis are going to continue to want to flee to safer havens, which means to neighboring countries. But as countries such as Jordan and Syria increasingly close their borders and force restrictions upon entry, Iraqis will have fewer and fewer safe places to where they can flee.
Sometimes we face some difficulties in the streets when they find that you are Iraqis. It was 2 years ago, I guess, when there were some bombings here in Jordan. And I guess they found that some Iraqis were part of it. And of course they were led by Al-Qaeda. But Al-Qaeda is, the leader was Jordanian actually. So they just thought that Iraqis are coming from Baghdad and they are now destroying Jordan and having some bombs here. So we started to have some difficulties in the street. Many of my friends got hit and there were some fights, I guess. For me, and I just got a spit from someone. Yeah, I was driving in my car and it was an Iraqi car, so they just noticed it and someone just spit on me and walked away.
First thing, they are not smiling in your face. And they say that you are too many here in Jordan, you are increasing the prices of everything, the cost of living is being so high because of the Iraqis are here. The Iraqis, you know, it's kind of, the Iraqis are generous and they're, it's not because I'm Iraqi, but as a general, the Iraqis paying for the poor people, for the workers, more than the Jordanian do. So it's just elevating the living cost. And buying apartments and houses here, elevating their prices. So this is the main problem, as they say, that's why they are hating or not liking us. And the second thing, this explosion happened before 2 years, and did by some Iraqis. Also, they think that we are not, we are like terrorists here.
We have to remember that Iraqis, before they came to Jordan, were living in very difficult political circumstances. They already came fearful, they already came quite paranoid, let's say. So this sort of trickles into their situation in Jordan, and this remains with them. So we already have that situation. With them being here illegal, this just causes more and more fear. Their future is not very clear for them, and this causes a lot of frustration, fear, anger, even resentment sometimes towards many, many people.
My father, mother, and brother, now in Baghdad. Almost every day I call them, and I'm scared about them. My father is a professor in Baghdad University, College of Science, and he's going every day. It's also not safe. The road itself and the way from the home to the university, not safe. My mother also a teacher or a doctor in a medical college, so they are
just don't leave, don't want to leave Iraq. I tried with my father to leave and to go find a job in another country, even to go to north of Iraq because it's more safe. But he refused. He's attached to Iraq, attached to Baghdad, attached to his place of work and attached to his area. And when I asked him last year, he said, you finish your college and you leave. And your brother, when he finished his school, his high school, he will leave to Jordan and another country or another country to join a university, but I won't leave.
Many people have wondered about the impact of the increased number of Iraqis on the economy in Jordan and the attitude of Jordanians towards the Iraqis. Considering that Jordan is a very small country with a small Jordanian population and hosts a very large Palestinian refugee community already in the country, Jordanians have actually been considerably welcoming to the Iraqis. However, lately, with increased prices and inflation, we are increasingly seeing that Jordanians are blaming Iraqis for increases in fuel prices, rent, prices of local commodities, land values, etc. However, there have been several studies published that show that price rises and increases are actually due to other factors and not an increase of Iraqis into the country.
A lot of them are fearful to come register with us, and that is why we have a field unit. We established a field unit this summer, going out into the community. We have an outreach program. We have volunteers as well as the field staff, our staff, that go out into the community. They tell Iraqis what we can do for them, what services we offer for them. And in fact, the services that we provide by UNHCR are for Iraqis who are registered with us and those that are not registered with us, because we do realize that the number is low. For some of them, the situation is so dire that they do not even have money for transportation to come to UNHCR and register with us.
The conditions of Iraqis in Jordan continue to deteriorate. As their displacement continues, things will only become more difficult for Iraqis, especially for the unemployed who have no source of income. For these who do not have a job, it's going to be more difficult to afford health care, medications, school supplies, and even food.
I can't stay here forever. No way. I'm thinking to try as hard as I can to leave. I can't live here. It's really difficult. I feel they take advantage of me here, so I don't want to stay here, to be honest. The UN is not helping me. There is no Australia, nothing. So I'm thinking of trying to go to Germany, as I have a relative there.
I'll graduate in 6 months to be a doctor, and even if Iraq was settled by then, I'll need to get specialization and some more post-graduation studies in order to be of some benefit when I go back to Iraq. I plan to go over to Iraq after getting a specialization, I guess. Because even our fathers used to study abroad and get a specialization or post-graduation studies and then come back to Iraq, even when it was settled before. So I guess this was my plan from before.
1 year ago, UNHCR staff was 32 people. Today, it's over 124. 1 year ago, our budget was 2.7 million. Most of the 2.7 million was going to a camp 1 hour from the Jordanian-Iraqi border that housed mostly Palestinians fleeing from Iraq. That was really where most of the money was going. Today we have over $36 million. What does this mean? This means that we are able to work more with implementing partners to create projects, to provide services, meal distribution, educational services, give more back to the Jordanian community for hosting Iraqis, to help support the government and provide more services to the Iraqi population.
I miss Baghdad. I was talking to my friend, who's my colleague also and graduated with me. We're talking about, we don't have things to miss there. We weren't having fun there in Baghdad, but we just feel that we miss Baghdad. Miss my home, miss, miss everything there. Yeah.